Dear listeners, I welcome you to this audio lecture which is part of BA English course in Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University. This lesson is part of BA English, 3rd year, 5th semester. The title of this course is Women's Writing in English, which is a discipline-specific elective course for BA. We have 5 blocks and 15 units in this course. Today, we will discuss Block 3, Intersectionalities. In this block, we will talk about Unit 9 with the title Locations and Ideologies. Today, we will discuss about the term ideology and the location in the field of feminist geography, women's writings across geographies, and migration and transnational women's writing. So let us start with defining a few terms. The word location has additional intended meaning that goes beyond the initial definition of place or geography. In simple words, location extends to the mapping of a place in relation to the dimensions of space and time. While the scientific definition of geography covers the physical and natural features of a region, it is closely connected to the cultural aspects that interact with living beings, living and non-living organisms, and the settings related to their interactions. The field of human geography is a study of how humans actively engage in their communities of a place and how these communities interact with each other. They also study how cultures occupy space, how humans move from one place to another, the manner they use resources, and the environment that is part of their daily lives. Human geography is concerned with the questions of why people live in certain locations. The organization of lives surround culture, concern human transactions with race, class, caste, gender, religion, language, nation, etc., and also obtain meaning from a place and give an added meaning to it. In other words, the cultural geography is a subdiscipline of human geography that studies difference in a localized phenomenon of humans interacting as individuals and also groups with other communities, socio-political and cultural institutions. For example, American teacher and writer Laurette E. Savoy's Trace, Memory, History, Race and the American Landscape, which was published in 2016, writes about their experiences of travel across different landscapes from California to South Carolina and then the US-Mexico border. This is a travel and analysis of the personal in the different cultural time periods of America, one that calls on the reader to observe the making of race and how migration, displacement, and silence make an impact in the book. While locating people in their places, it is beneficial to know the influence of feminism in women's writing. The American philosophers Sandra Harding and Nancy Hartsock coined standpoint theory in the branch of feminism, which depicted women's knowledge as a prime way of seeing the world based on women's social interactions. Combining the standpoint theory with the geography, some women's writings are at a position or ideological location from margin to center, like Bell Hooks' 1984 work, Feminist Theory, From Margin to the Center, or insider-outsider position, like Audre Lorde's 1984 work, Sister Outsider, and subject and the object position, like Bell Hooks' 1992 work, Positional Gaze, Black Female Spectators. Now let's look at trajectory of feminist ideological positions. In women's writing, intersectionality is a key concept. We've discussed the intersectionality in the previous units. Now, intersectionality is a key concept that helps identify the link of differences. The symbolic and aesthetic interpretation of these writings is made through the framework of the writer's locations, their space, time, and their ideological situatedness in their environment. All of these things influence. A set of words, symbols, representations, group activities, normative values of the society, and access to political, social, cultural, and similar resources that enable people and persons to use power in specific ways or towards specific goals is known as ideology, and it attaches several implications from multiple fields. The post-structuralist movement in literature during the 1970s, found in the writings of Deleuze, Michel Foucault, Jacques Derrida, Umberto Eco, Judith Butler, Julia Kristeva, etc., had argued for a study of the text as a medium in itself and the historical processes that produced it. The concept of difference has become crucial to study a text in the light of the theoretical, historical, and cultural past. With the women's liberation movement going hand in hand with the written works produced in the academia, feminist theory began to gain speed in the 1960s and 1970s, and was ideologically positioned to center the unheard voices of women. The movements or waves challenged the social processes, structures, and political systems of domination that suppressed their voices in all walks of life. The differences in feminist theory was founded in the writings of women who were writing from a different disciplines and generating literature and findings from their disciplines. Now let us talk about a few feminist movements closer home. So the feminist movements in India. Women's movements are mass campaigns that seek to protest, push for change in women's issues and demand for their rights. Whether it was voting rights, education, stopping violence against women, or challenging caste discrimination, women have constantly and publicly fought for change by raising their voice in public platforms on issues that have become important in their geographical locations. In many ways, mass protests and demonstrations paved the way for women in academia, such as Veena Mazumdar, Sharmila Rege, Gayatri Chakraborty Spivak, Lalita Sarkar, and Urvashi Bhutalia began to integrate the academic forums and movements which enriched each other. Within her intersectional position of being a woman and an other backward caste, Savitribai Phule was a pioneer in women's education in India. Another powerful writer who also participated in women's movements include Tarabai Shinde. Tarabai Shinde was close to the Phule family and continuously critiqued the patriarchal and caste oppression of her community. Just like Mary Wollstonecraft, who had written A Vindication of Rights of Women, with strictures on political and moral subjects, to argue for the equal rights of women to be educated on par with men, Tarabai Shinde published Stri Purusha Tulna, which was published in 1882, or A Comparison Between Women and Men, which was republished in 1975 and paved way to a rediscovery of her voice and her writings as one of the first feminist texts. Now, another movement that influenced was the Chipko movement. This is another movement or another milestone in women's movement in India. In the 1970s, Uttarakhand's Chipko, meaning embrace, movement ignited the conversation around protecting the forest, especially for those whose livelihood depended on it. Now let's talk about some popular writings of a few Indian feminist writers, women writers. Meera Yuval Davis is a diasporic Israeli sociologist based in the UK. Most of her research and writings have been influenced by her life and experience in Tel Aviv. Born and brought up in a closely knit Zionist family in the 1950s, she started her political activism against Zionist and anti-Semitic feelings spread by the military-ruled Israel and their treatment of the Palestinian people. Her major works include Gender and Nation, published in 1997, Bordering, published in 2019, The Politics of Belonging, Intersectional Contestations, published in 2011, Radicalized Boundaries, Race, Nation, Gender, Color and Class, and The Anti-Racist Struggle, published in 1992, etc. Another feminist author is Manjula Padmanabhan, who is considered the first woman cartoonist in English. Although she has written and illustrated plays, short stories, and children's fiction, she is still known vividly and widely for her beloved character Suki in the cartoon strip that started appearing in Sunday Observer in 1982. She addresses a wide range of issues, from climatic change, feminist issues, daily challenges faced by women, to current affairs like the Kathuwa rape victim. Suki's escapades have been collected and published in a book format titled Double Talks, which was published in 2005. Padmanabhan's play Harvest won her an award, and it was later adapted into an award-winning movie by Govind Nilani in 2002. Harvest dealt with the concept of organ selling in a futuristic Bombay city of 2010. Meena Kandasamy is a well-known feminist poet, novelist, translator, and an activist based in Chennai, India. She has two published poem anthologies under her name, Touch, which was published in 2006, and Miss Militancy, which was published in 2010. The major themes of her work are anti-caste struggles, feminist issues, linguistic identity, representation of women in mythology, etc. She has also written three novels, The Gypsy Goddess, 2014, When I Hit You, or A Portrait of the Writer as a Young Wife, 2018, Exquisite Cadavers, 2019. She has translated numerous works by many famous Tamil authors into English. Works in which women's location has a significant space, their writing that depict hierarchical strata of women, include the focus on categories like race and gender. Now, when we talk about global women's struggle, the campaigns of women's movements look at the structures of patriarchy that affect their lives and reimagine how emancipation and the claim of power for women can move in the direction of a futuristic gender-just world. So there's no gender discrimination in this futuristic world. Gender justice has an important role in current society, with digital activism occupying an important space for feminist resistance. International Women's Day, that is celebrated on March 8th, is a day of remembering women's hard-fought rights and is also a call of challenge for women around the world. Since 1911, it has been a celebration of all the achievements of women across the globe for their contributions in the socio-political and cultural areas in their fields and locations. Through global feminist networks, international NGOs, and other organizations, global women's movement works on commonalities of issues across diverse nations. They develop reports and frameworks for change that helps governments across the world to take action in areas like women's sexual and reproductive rights, economic equality, financial investment, and many other fields that urgently require attention. Feminist geographers have studied the politicization of terms like nation, boundary, citizenship, and territorial limits, and the interactions of these different categories with women's lives, which is also known as feminist political geography. Examines the meaning of the state, which is not simply a set of political buildings used for administrative purposes. State is seen from the point of view of the power relations it maintains with people and how economics, capital, urban space, social and cultural spaces influence gender, migration and transnational processes. The field of migration studies examines the role that gender plays to think about displacement, mobility, spaces like the urban, suburban and rural, etc., and the social differences produced in these interactions. Women writing creatively and critically have examined the intersection of location and migration studies and asks questions such as, why do they migrate? What roles do women occupy in the new place, and how do they view themselves? What do places of work look like for migrants and especially migrant women? What is the new domestic or private space, and what has now become the public space? What are their new responsibilities as citizens, asylum seekers, or illegal immigrants? It is clear that there is a cross connection between the place and the identity, which are ultimately socially and geographically constructed. Some notable women writers who are part of the diaspora include Chitra Banerjee Divakaruni, Kamala Markandeya, and Bharti Mukherjee, who were all born in India but migrated abroad, therefore maintaining thin strands of connection to the nation they grew up in. And they write about the diasporic angst that they experience, the sense of loss, displacement, and alienation. Other diasporic renowned writers born abroad include Jhumpa Lahiri, Sunetra Gupta, P. Peggy Mohan and several others whose parents settled abroad. They are known as the first generation immigrants, while the children of first generation are termed the second generation. Their writings examine their identity in multiple communities with different national origins. They are often caught in the memories or nostalgia of an imagined homeland and also write about the socio-cultural and religious alienating experiences. Now let us quickly talk about some women-centered literary festivals that happen. Literary festivals are unique spaces where one can observe the new voices in feminist and women's writing. It is a space that helps to identify the multiple gender, caste, racial, national concerns that are closely tied to a geographic location. In many mainstream literary fests, women writers are provided a different segment to present and discuss their work. In India, one of the literary festivals where the platform is completely dedicated to women is an initiative from She the People called Women Writers Fest and is held across 8 cities in India. Started in 2009, Susan Long and Elsie Sadler launched the Pasadena Festival of Women Authors held in the US and has developed into a platform that was non-profit and has also received support from PEN America. Let us now quickly sum up what we have learned in this unit so far. This unit provided an outline of the meanings of ideology, how it's important to read the writings of women, and how it can be interpreted in the light of few select work of authors. The unit also brought in the connection between women's writing and women's movements, both in local and global spaces, and familiarizes us to grasp the basic ideas about migration and transnationality as it relates to women, geography, space and place. We talked about a few of the migration and transnational feminist politics and some of the diasporic authors, and we ended with some notable women-centered literary festivals. This is the end of Unit 9, Locations and Ideologies. Thank you.